KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
You're listening to KBOO News In Depth. I'm Reed Johnson.
And I'm Althea Billings. We are joined in studio this evening, very excited, by three forest and land defense activists who are in Portland for the rally and counter conference to the Who Will Own the Forest Industry Conference. We've got Graham Melosa, a Coast Salish elder and land defender, Joshua Wright, a forest defense activist, and Sean Jacobson from the City Repair Project. Welcome to KBOO News In Depth, all.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So there is definitely a lot to talk about with the rally and the counter conference, but maybe we can start out by talking about Fairy Creek. It's now referred to as one of the largest acts of civil disobedience in Canadian history, where protesters created a blockade aimed at ending old growth logging in British Columbia. Maybe for our listeners, what is the significance of Fairy Creek?
Ooh, it's the last of the old growth. It is 3 years old, and we're still occupying the space.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about how it started and what's been going on?
I'll take that, yeah.
Sure.
So in British Columbia, the province is still authorizing the logging of around 100,000 acres of old growth forests with trees that are up to 2,000 years old and 10 feet thick. And a couple of years ago, a group of land defenders decided to set up a blockade in one of the last intact watersheds on Vancouver Island to prevent the logging of the headwaters of that valley. And that led to the largest act of civil disobedience in Canadian history. And since then, land defenders have been trying to hold down the fort, trying to protect old growth. And really what we're seeing is that the government has been promising protections for a long time and failing to deliver. And industry, in the meantime, is hacking away at the last of the old growth, as they're doing basically across the Coast Range, hacking away at the last areas of natural forest. And that's why we're here at the conference.
So where does Fairy Creek stand now, right? That 2020 and 2021 were a more intense time. What's happening currently?
Currently, what's happening is that we're still occupying the space. We're still being very cautious. As of midnight yesterday, Tuesday, the court injunction that forbid the 1,188 land defenders from going to the mountain has now been lifted. And we are now, you know, being very cautious about whether we're going to go back up full force or not. And that's around the court injunction. But we also are going to court. We're still going to court at the end of this month, and we're still fighting. We're still fighting, and we're still occupying the space.
What lessons do you think Fairy Creek has for other groups and activists wanting to preserve forests in their area?
Never give up.
For me, I'd say that direct action works, and direct action needs to be continued. I think that, like, I grew up in the early 2000s. I'm 20 years old now. And pretty much for my entire life up until a few years ago, there wasn't much direct action happening to protect old forests or really any forest. What's happened instead is forests have basically become commodities, and the Coast Range, all the way from Northern California to Alaska, is continuing to be liquidated by these logging companies. And there was a wave of activism in the 90s, and I think that wave of activism restarted with Fairy Creek, and it's not going to go away, because right now we're forgetting that we live in a rainforest. This whole forest from the Redwoods all the way up to Haines, Alaska, should be one ecosystem. Instead, it's a patchwork of clear cuts. And while there are some reserves, and in Washington and Oregon, they're not necessarily logging old growth forests, but they're still logging old forests. In British Columbia, they are logging 100,000 acres a year. In Alaska, the federal government there's recently been a bill introduced to the Senate, which would privatize about 100,000 acres of old growth and second growth forests up on the Tongass. So I think the lesson of direct action is that we need more of it, to be honest. And yeah, Fairy Creek isn't over.
Nope.
Yeah, what do you want to say?
We're still going back to the mountain. We're still going to fight. Whether that fight is on the mountain or in the courtrooms or on the streets, we're still going to be there.
Well, we're speaking to you now from Portland, Oregon. How is logging and forest defense and the fight that you've been in Canada connected to issues here?
Do I answer it?
So, as Joshua was saying, this is a single ecosystem from California through Alaska, and the industries, these large real estate investment corporations and large timber corporations that are doing this logging are a part of the same contingent of financiers. They're backed usually by large groups of investors that are all trying to buy up the last of the forests so they can make as much money as possible off of them. You know, our situation in Oregon and Washington and the states is a little bit different because most of the old growth has already been logged. And a lot of these forests in our coast range that they're massively clear-cutting are young, you know, by any standards. They're, you know, 40-year-old forests that aren't going to have the ecological functions that these old growth forests in Canada are having, but they need to exist in order to provide their functions. One of these, one of the facts that I've learned recently is about this thing called the biotic pump. It's how the water cycle works on planet Earth. Every ecosystem is transpiring water vapor. And that water vapor, as it transpires from forests, actually creates a pressure gradient over land that pulls water, moisture, from the ocean over the continents. And so if you have massive clear cuts covering the entire coast range, this basic biological process that is providing up to half of the rainfall over the course of a year through the transpiration of ecosystems is desertifying the inner continent. And so we have eastern Oregon, eastern Washington in some of the worst droughts they've ever had. We have these massive fires that are burning through our ecosystems because they're no longer wet. And that's for two reasons. One is that these ecosystems are plantations. They're basically, you know, large swaths of clear cuts replanted as single stand, single age monocultures that have no water, moisture. And so when fire hits them, they burn from the point of contact all the way into cities and burn down the cities. And there's no other reason other than that they're young tree plantations. And so this ecological condition that's been created by timber is affecting everyone. No matter where you live, you breathe the smoke in Portland, your house is burned down in rural areas. And this fight from Canada all the way through the United States is to try to manage our ecosystems in a way that provides these necessary ecological functions, you know, providing fresh drinking water, creating our atmosphere and our rain, creating the air that we breathe, and also just being habitat for all of the biodiversity that's necessary for life on Earth. And we're all fighting this fight everywhere, but we need more people.
Maybe drawing things back to Fairy Creek, are there aspects of direct action, you know, like the forest blockades that you think are misunderstood, commonly misunderstood?
Go ahead.
I think that a lot of people interpret, you know, I think a lot of people see activists blocking roads or trying to stop logging, and they see that as criminal. What you had at Fairy Creek were basically grandparents and teenagers that were getting brutalized by police, that were militarized. You know, they had guns, they had helicopters, and they came in essentially as a militarized force to stop this. And I think people don't understand the fact that these are normal people who care about these places, and the government is able to vilify them and, you know, make them out to be radicals, but the radical thing is to destroy an entire ecosystem. I think we in the West are very happy to look at the Amazon and say, well, you know, you folks down south can't be destroying the Amazon. And, you know, the Amazon absolutely needs to exist. But we don't realize that the landscape in which we operate used to be a rainforest. And we pretend that because we've already logged 99% of it, or, you know, 98% or whatever it is, that now that it's logged, we can just keep on managing it as a tree plantation. And in areas where it's already been fragmented, we can log the last of the old growth. But the reality is that this should be a rainforest, and we are managing it as a plantation in the same way that in Indonesia, the land's being managed for palm oil. Here, it's being managed as a Douglas fir tree plantation pretty much exclusively.
So with all of this in mind, what kind of help or support are you looking for now? If this is maybe somebody's first time getting to know all of this information and understand this fight.
People who are willing to stay for the long haul. Because there's one thing I noticed, like at today's rally, is that the voices that are missing, first of all, is starting with the Indigenous people. We need to rise up. We need to share our stories. But the rally organizers need to give us space, because we're not always going to be so forthcoming because of what the industry has done to our people. It's not okay. So when I talk about, you know, things like the medicine wheel, when I talk about, you know, being a part of the solution, including, you know, like the Rainbow Nation, it signifies, you know, like we're in this together. We can fix this issue with the deforestation, with climate change, with everything that's being thrown our way, but it needs people. We need the people to come forward, to come not only to the forest, but also to the streets. We need the keyboard warriors to speak up when they hear or read about what is happening. We need people to come forward and say, I can't make it to the front lines, but here, I can help you out with getting some food. I can send you up with some tents, some socks, whatever, you know, they can spare. Mm-hmm. That's very much appreciated.
Yeah. Well, with that in mind, you mentioned folks who are in it for the long haul. How do you maintain stamina in this kind of work?
I've been doing this for 50 plus years, acting as, you know, a human rights advocate, civil rights spokesperson, land defender. I look around at the faces that come to the rallies, and I see a tiny glimmer of hope in everybody that comes, because I believe that they can, you know, contribute to creating a better tomorrow by doing the work today. And that's what gives me that energy, that tiny bit of hope. Because the issues that we're dealing with today, they were dealing with it in the 1960s. So they don't go away very fast.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, one of the things in terms of actually getting people to act, one of the, you know, 5 years ago, a lot of, you know, Ferry Creek wasn't really on the map. One of the things I work on in Washington State are the logging of the last naturally regenerated forest called Legacy Forest on state lands. And the reason that there are movements around these issues now is because people noticed that this was happening and they decided to start opposing it. And if you are out there and you don't know what to do, you know, look in your own backyard, because I guarantee you there's going to be a forest that's getting cut down. There's going to be a development going in. There's going to be an ecosystem that's going to be destroyed. And if nobody or if you don't organize it against it, and if nobody else is organizing against it already, then who will? And I think that that's really important, is don't feel like just because you're a normal person, you don't have any authority to say you can't come do this to the place that I love. And I think that that is critically important. Another thing I will say is that half of the old growth coming out of British Columbia is coming into the United States. Half of that is going to build houses in Arizona and to build people's cedar decks. So I think what Ferry Creek needs from the US are boycotts. And I don't know that that's going to happen anytime soon, but that's what will actually change the old growth logging from happening.
If listeners are interested in learning more about the work you're doing about you know, the counter conference going on in Portland, what's the best way for them to do that?
Come and stand with us. Come and see the video that's being presented tomorrow. Write letters. Sign up on you know, the social media, where we've got many different outlets, you know, from Instagram to Twitter, Facebook.
Yeah, I would say that The best place to start for regular people is education. And, you know, media resources are available. So look up Ferry Creek on Facebook and Instagram. Look up, you know, logging documentaries from your own backyard. Here in Oregon, there's a great film called Behind the Emerald Curtain. Do you know any good films on Ferry Creek that are released right now, Joshua?
There's Rematriation and there's Before They Fall. And those are both films directly about Ferry Creek that are really worth watching.
And then, of course, there's ways to get involved. I know in Oregon, we have two good forest defense groups called BARC and then Oregon Wild that you can donate to or get involved in their projects. And Eugene, there's Cascadia Wild. But tomorrow, we are having our Sustainable Forestry Conference or Regenerative Forestry Conference, bringing together indigenous elders from around the Pacific Northwest and people whose specialty has been focused on this industrial real estate managed logging to talk about how we need to not own the forest and what practices we need to use. It'll be at the First Unitarian Church of Portland at 1211 Southwest Main tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. That's Thursday, September 28th. And Grandma Losa is showing their documentary on Ferry Creek at 2 p.m. So if you would like to learn more about Ferry Creek, that would be the time to come.
Very cool. Well, I want to thank you all so much for taking the time to come in and speak with us and share what you've been doing. It's wonderful, and we really appreciate it. We've been speaking with Grandma Losa, Joshua Wright, and Sean Jacobson about the Ferry Creek Blockade and their counter conference, Forests Over Profits, that starts tomorrow in Portland at 10 a.m. at the First Unitarian Church of Portland. I'm Althea Billings.
And I'm Bree Johnson. This has been KBOO News in Depth. Stay with us. Next is News from the Boo.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
And now it's time for News from the Boo, the weekly segment from people inside of and around KBOO, with news from your community radio station.
Well, you are listening to News from the Boo, your look at the news inside KBOO. I'm Althea Billings, your news director, and we're here live with some of our newer staff members. Welcome, folks. We'll be taking some time to get to know them and talking about some upcoming things at KBOO that you can look forward to. To start, can I get you all to go around and introduce yourselves? Who wants to go first? Okay, go, Michelle.
My name's Michelle, and I'm the web coordinator, and my pronouns are she, her.
Hey, Michelle. Hey, Althea. I'm Nathan Vandiver. My pronouns are he, him. I'm the new station manager, and I started May 22nd.
Hi, I'm Artie, membership director, they, them pronouns, and I started August 21st.
I didn't know everybody had such a fabulous radio voice to start out. That's exciting. We're discovering things already. But I think our listeners might like to get to know you a little bit better. So, I mean, let's go around. Can you tell me a little more about you? Michelle, do you want to start?
Sure. I'm a Portland native, which is rare in this part. I love music festivals, and I'm also the web coordinator for Tectonic Shift Festival. And I just love going to music festivals in general. I'm pretty artsy and I like performing arts as well. And I've been a web developer designer for several years now. And I'm just like really excited to be working for KBOOT.
Sweet.
Nathan here. Hey, I most recently from Arkansas. I was there for 22 years roughly. I've been in Portland for about a year and a half now. And when I got here, or when I applied for the job and I was talking to folks about working at KBOOT, I'd say like half the people I talked to were like, oh, I know somebody who has a show there or had a show there. So that was kind of my, you know, how I started to learn a little bit more about KBOOT.
I was born and raised in Boise, Idaho, spent 3 years in Olympia, and tomorrow is my 5-year anniversary here in Portland.
Whoa, exciting.
Congratulations.
Congratulations on making it through 5 wonderful years, I assume. What are your guys' favorite thing about KBOOT so far? If you had to pick just one.
I really like that. I don't feel like I have to like hide my personality or what I'm into. I feel like other positions that I've worked, you know, they're like, go ahead and just leave your personality at the door. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't actually need that. So it's cool that my coworkers are open about who they are and I can be open about who I am. And that just like, I don't know, makes me a lot more comfortable at work. And I just love that.
Oh, that's so nice. What do you guys like?
I mean, definitely the people in the community. It's been really cool to get to know more about KBOOT and how it works and meet with some of the collectives and meet the board, meet the staff, and meet the volunteers who've come in and out of the office. It's been great. It's a wonderful community.
I'm a big fan of KBOOT's long history, the wealth of knowledge, and I really enjoy that there's a youth collective here.
Shout out, I love that too. Shout out Youth Collective. Their show is on after this, so lots to look forward to starting at 6 p.m. But while we're still here, not yet there, what are some of the things that are coming up in your respective departments? What should people look out for?
Well, one thing that I just recently put on the website is the remote broadcast page, which contains all of the remote broadcasts for the whole summer that KBOOT did. So Waterfront Blues Festival and things like that. If you want to relive it, it's all on our main page right now. I am looking forward to completely redoing KBOOT's website because I'm sure many people have noticed that it's outdated. But that's okay because I'm going to upgrade it and make it even better. So that's what I'm looking for.
Oh man, that is very exciting to me on a couple of different levels. I love to hear it. What do you got going, Nathan?
I think I'm looking forward to the new year now. At this point, we just had our block party. We had our annual meeting. The block party was awesome. It was a lot of fun. Such great work went into that from the block party committee and Jill Blanchard on the board. Thanks to them, I think we all had a great time. The annual meeting was great. We elected a few new board members. And so that's kind of, we're in a transition phase there, moving to the new year. We just passed the new budget. I think so. I'm kind of, you know, I'm acknowledging these things that have just come to a close and, you know, looking forward to the new year. We do have a new development director starting on Monday, so that's going to be great.
Yay.
We're almost fully staffed, so I think that's the next big thing is we've got one last hire left to do until we're fully staffed. So that's kind of the immediate term.
Yeah, definitely. What about you, Artie?
I'm so glad you asked because right now we are currently in our fall membership drive from now until October 28th, and we have a goal of $55,000. So I am so excited to meet that goal thanks to all of our listeners.
Yeah, definitely. Loving the harvest theme, which I get to say because I made it up. if no one will self-aggrandize me, I'll do it myself. If our listeners want to get in touch or for whatever reason, members, volunteers, what's the best way for them to get to you?
I am web@kboot.org. You can message me anything you want about the website or if you're having trouble with it or
compliments,
confusing.
Especially.
Yes. You can tell me wonderful things also. But also I just wanted to point out that, me and Nathan started on the same day just a few months ago and Artie is a brand new as well, our membership director. And you know that we had very temporary staff during the the pandemic, and now we're getting new permanent staff. So I just wanted everyone to know that and know that we're going to be here indefinitely making it happen for you.
Indefinitely sounds threatening for some reason, but I what I think it conveys is a sense of commitment to
the
future.
We will be here ultimately.
We will be here, and you can't get rid of us. Not the point. But Nathan, if people want to get in touch with you.
Email is the best way, definitely. Okay. manager@kboo.org, or you can hail me as I ride my bicycle through the streets of Portland.
Oh, wow. I've been waving at a lot of guys for that, and I haven't seen you yet. Okay, Artie, what about you?
Membership@kboo.org for an email, or my extension is the 207 for the phone number at the station, or just think about me.
Yeah. We've actually, we don't need the website upgraded. We're using divination to respond to your concerns.
Yeah, adapt or die.
Yeah. Any final words for the folks at home?
We're just really looking forward to going into this new era with everyone. I think the pandemic was a really scary time, and we weren't sure if anything at all would continue. So it's really exciting to be able to bring KBOO into the new era, is what I would say.
Love it. Any final words from this side of the desk?
If you're interested in KBOO at all, whatsoever, like it at all, there are 1,001 ways to get involved, so feel free to reach out.
Yeah, we love to have it.
Yeah, and these are wonderful things, and I would just want to say, keep it tuned to the Boo and tell your friends.
There you go. Yeah. Keep it locked on 90.7, they say. Well, thank you all so much for being here. I really appreciate it. This is News from the Boo. We've been speaking with web coordinator Michelle Canada, membership director Artie Wall, and station manager Nathan Vandiver or Vandiver.
The first way.
I lost my nerve. I don't know. Thank you so much, listeners at home, for sticking with us. I've been your host, Althea Billings. We're going to send it off here with a few words from our board president, Emma Lugo. Thank you so much for listening.
Hi, this is Emma Lugo. I'm just going to talk to you about supporting KBOO this fall during our fall pledge drive. I'm currently serving as the president of the board of KBOO, and I just would like to take a minute to tell you how wonderful things are going at KBOO right now. KBOO is in a great financial position. We've never had such a wonderful financial position, thanks to two very generous bequests. However, our expenses have significantly increased. We've signed a collective bargaining agreement with our staff last year, trying to raise their wages to closer to what's a living wage in Portland, and making sure that our employees have good benefits and a good working conditions. We hired a new station manager, Nathan Vandiver, who has lots of experience managing stations, and we're really hoping to keep him around for 5 to 8 years. So all of these things have resulted in an increased budget. And so I'm just taking a minute to make a personal appeal to you as the president to please consider giving to KBOO during this pledge drive. Also consider putting KBOO in your living will or in your trust, because KBOO is a station that speaks for voices that you do not hear anyplace else in Portland, Oregon. KBOO has a commitment to diversity. It has a commitment to beloved community. So I hope that during this fall pledge drive, you'll consider giving to KBOO. There's lots of easy ways to give. You can go to kboo.fm/give. You can also text KBOO to 44321 on text message, or send us a check to KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon 97214. KBOO is a beloved community. It's your community radio station. We want to be here for many, many years to come. So we hope that you'll support the investment that we've made in our workers and the investment that we've made in our future. Thanks so much, and back to the program.